Jesus invited us and encouraged us, as Eric said, but never forced us. To ask, and we shall receive. To seek, and we shall find. To knock at the door of heaven, and it should be opened unto us. And Jesus told us that whatsoever we ask the Father in his name, believing, it shall be given unto us. Let the name of the Father be glorified in his Son. And in the 1 John chapter 5, it says, and we have the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we require of him. And we looked at the life of the saints in the Bible, the apostles, the prophets, all of those who have received signs and wonders and miracles in prayer. And we have discovered that they carried these four principles in their daily prayers. And because of their effective prayers, God have changed the discourse of nature and impacted the history of humanity. That is how much prayer can do for us. And we have examined the adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving, and the supplication. And just let us go through them quickly to be reminded. Next slide, please. We should be adoring God in our prayer. And adoration is mainly the true faith and acknowledgement of the deep love of God for us as Creator. What a comfort that is just to pause in your troubles, in your concerns, and look at the heavens, look at the earth, look at everything around you, and get a sense of who God is. And then your own problems and concerns will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That he is the Creator, the Savior, the Provider, Protector, Omnipresent, Omnipotent, Good Shepherd, Physician, Healer, Life more abundantly, and Life eternal. And it's ironic, we just talked more about that today. Okay? So acknowledge God to be all of this in your prayer. And listen to the words of your prayer, because that could be the answer to your own concerns before you even address them. It is true. When you adore God and speak of who he is in prayer, it will grant you the fundamental answer to your concern before you even speak. Okay, next slide, please. Confession, of course, we are to admit our sins and weaknesses in Jesus' name and ask him for forgiveness, mercy, grace, and help to overcome. After all, we go to the Lord with all of our burdens because we are weak and helpless. We don't know how to fix it. Right? Can I go and fix all of the problems in Egypt?
No.
But this is such a heavy burden upon my heart. It's weighing very heavy. How about the issues that are going on the Ivory Coast, that I heard that the rebels are shoving some of the Christians in pits of fire?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that this is happening today in our present time in history? Beside beating them up and breaking their bones, this is a heavy burden upon my heart. It's a heavy concern. I can't fix it. But my God can. And prayer is the avenue to grant me peace within, to alleviate my distress, and to grant me the hope that God hears, God answers, God intervenes, and God saves. Confession tells me that it is because of sin that all of this suffering is present in our lives. Sin is the root and the virus of all of the sicknesses and the troubles we have. And it is such a wonderful release. It is such a divine gift and blessing that we are able to confess our sins before the one and only Savior who have borne our sins and carried our infirmities and suffered all reproaches for my sins, your sins, the sins of all generations, past, present, and to come. And if we confess our sins, he is always loving, faithful, and kind to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all and righteousness. Next one, please. And we have seen the two cycles of sin in which all humanity have a choice. Those who do not believe in Jesus and those who believe in themselves, in others, and in things of this world of sin usually find themselves in the first cycle. And the end of it is no good. Sin which leads to guilt, then to dreadful fears, then to devalued shame, then to lower self-worth, then to exasperated needs, more needs, and back to sinful ways and means to satisfy our exasperated needs, which eventually lead to death. Death that is physical and then to eternal death. No hope in the first cycle of sin. The second cycle of sin is the cycle of human hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin which leads to conviction by the Holy Spirit. Then to the pure fear of God. Then to confession. Then to forgiveness. Then to restored self-worth, then to the hope that all needs internal will continue to be satisfied through the richness of God's unceasing love and grace in Christ Jesus. That is another definition of the abundant life on earth, and that is the definition that leads to life eternal. For God so loved the sinful world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting lives. And it is always good to be reminded that spiritual failure is not when tripping on sin and falling down. We're going to go through that every day. But it is in choosing not to get up. And I love that verse in Micah 7:8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. That is hope. Wow. We don't have to choose to stay down and to suffer the consequences of sin. We don't have to choose to stay in darkness and stumble all over sin. We can always choose to come to the Lord boldly and to ask for mercy and grace and deliverance from sin and from darkness into his marvelous life, and then to live and to share the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Next slide. And we spend some time that in our prayer, we often talk about the things we want and need and our concerns, and that is fine. You know, Billy Graham said before that people approach prayer as if God is a big aspirin pill to cure all diseases, rather than spending time in counting the blessings and thanking God for all of his gifts and then bearing our burdens to him. We got to give thanks. Let us grow out of this state of immaturity like babies. Always crying, always wanting, always desiring, and when they don't get it, what do? They cry again and again and again. I thought that the world evolves around me. No. As we mature, the universe evolves around Jesus. Amen. The individual, the family, the church, and all the affairs of the world is really centered on Christ. And because of the nature of gravity, everything should be gravitating to the center of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every event and every problem in the outside, every problem inside us should be drafting us even closer to Jesus, not sending us farther away. Thanksgiving will help us to draw close to Jesus and to remember how he led us throughout the past, and how he is able to lead us today and unto the glorious future until the day of his appearing. Give thanks for whatever condition we are in, for it is God's will. Prayer of faith shall bring about miracles seen and unseen through these events. In all things, the Bible said, give thanks, for it is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. It is quite difficult for my human heart to give thanks for the crises and the tragedies and the calamities and the suffering that's in the world. How can you give thanks for that? I give thanks because God knows about it. And God alone knows how to make all things work together for good to those who love Him and those called according to His purpose. But I need to pray for that. Next one, please. Acts of effective prayer is the power of supplication. And that is where we are today. Supplication is the humble behavior that leads our prayer. It is the act, the humble, earnest, reverent, and persevering prayer to our God and Creator in Jesus' name. It is not a one-minute thing. It is not a one-time thing. When you are praying for certain people, for certain conditions, for certain things, and for certain events in the world, and you don't see the result immediately, you must persevere humbly and thankfully in prayer. Prayer really cleanses our heart. Prayer purifies us from the inside out. Prayer sanctifies us and makes us holy. And the longer we pray, the more holy we become, because it is the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmities and intercede and groan in us and through us as we pray. When we pray less, the other spirit groan with us and control us to make it so difficult for us by give us every pleasure of sin there is. He holds us down. He binds us up. And He takes over our soul if we let Him. Two spirits, two powers, two influences on our lives, two outcomes in our lives. Supplication in the Spirit is what we're going to be studying about today. We have already studied these two examples, and that's why I brought them back up before we go into our Bible chapter today. You have seen supplication illustrated by Daniel, a righteous man. But if you look at Daniel and the book of Daniel and all the stories about the life of Daniel, it was a life of prayer and supplication, 70 years in captivity. 70 years of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And 70 years of signs and wonders and miracles because of these acts of effective prayers presented by Daniel. How far are you and I from the life of Daniel? How really far and how dangerous that is. The other story that Jesus shared with us, two stories in one chapter, and we studied both of them. The impertinent woman who went to that wicked judge who knew not God. And she kept going back to him and back to him and telling him, deliver me from my adversary. And because she persisted and persevered, even though it's a wicked judge, the Bible said, Jesus said, that he granted her request lest she weary him out. And Jesus said, how be it your Father in heaven? Can't He provide all of their needs instantly? But sometimes His answer is wait, or even no. Continue to persevere in prayer and don't allow the devil to discourage you, because God sees the whole universe. God orders all history and all the affairs of man. Trust Him over that, even when the answer is no or wait. Continue in prayer knowing that something marvelous is happening in you, for you, and in the lives and in the events that you are praying about. Okay? She insisted she persevered. Jesus said, God is much more loving than that. He hears and He answers and He provides with might and power, because He is our righteous Father. And in the same chapter, we see two types of believers going to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. One is going there with no supplication, no confession, no adoration. It's all about him, the Pharisee. I thank you, O God. He has thanksgiving, but not for God.
The thanksgiving were for himself, about himself. He said, I thank you, O God, because I am not like this man, an extortioner. I give my tithe and offering, and I do all of my deeds. And he went to recount how wonderful he is. As to the other man, the publican, he showed adoration. He showed thanksgiving. He showed confession. And he showed supplication by a very short phrase. Bible said that he smote upon his own heart and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. He acknowledged that God is righteous. He acknowledged that God is holy. He acknowledged that God is Savior and Deliverer and merciful. All of the traits were found in that statement of adoration. He also confessed his sin. And in his heart, you can tell clearly, he's giving thanks that God can hear and answer his prayers. And we don't know how many times this man prayed for his own sins. It is wonderful. And the second thing we're going to be studying about is how the disciples, the women, and the children exhibited the power of supplication and what happened thereafter. We started that study last week, so I want to go quickly to Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and then we're going to read chapter 2 together. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The word of God tells us that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. In one accord, what did they do? Continued in prayer and supplication. They did not just pray. They endured in praying for 50 days. Wow. For 50 days. What is the outcome of that? It is the problem that I have addressed this morning. It's the problem that is found in all Christian homes. It is the problem that is found in the Christian churches today. It's a problem that needs to be resolved and quickly, knowing that the days of the Lord are hasting soon. And those days will come upon some of us before others. What were they doing? Let us read it together. We are inflicted with the spirit of lukewarmness. Bible said, you are neither cold nor hot, therefore I will spew you out of my mouth. Means that we will no longer be the children of God. Just like the Pharisee. We have that great risk before us if our heart and mind and soul is not warm and is not heating up in Christ. How do you do that? Let us learn from the apostles, the disciples, the women, and the children that gathered together to pray and to supplicate before the Lord. Here is what happened. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What were they doing?
Praying.
They were praying and supplicating and confessing their sins one to another, as chapter 1 told us. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
Wow.
Do you feel the power of the Holy Spirit upon you when you pray? Or do you feel your mouth praying? You know, great many prayers have come from the mouth and the brain. It doesn't come from the heart. Because we are not in touch with the heart of Jesus.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Have you had that experience? That as you prayed, you felt that the Holy Spirit is the one praying in you, that your whole body was completely relaxed, and that utterance and words given to you that is quite unusual for you to have. They were given cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we will learn in this situation, it was the gift of tongues that is the gift of other languages. Other languages. Like, I'm very blessed to be able to pray, to sing, to praise, to worship the Lord in the Arabic language and in the English language. I am able to share that blessed gift of life with you in your language that you may understand it. And when I was in Egypt, I was able to use and to share such spiritual gifts with those who can understand it in the Arabic language. And I'm very grateful for that. The disciples were given such a great gift to be able to share the love and the knowledge of the gospel of salvation in Jesus' name with other people of other nations who spoke other languages. And verse 5, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It's no question what the gift of tongue is. It's the gift of language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? That is no question what the gift of tongue and the gift of the Holy Spirit is. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers from Rome, Jews and proselytes. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine.
Oh no.
Isn't that something? And that is the power that the Apostle Paul spoke about, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death, that by all means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. And it is sad to know that many Christians are living within their own power, have not experienced the power of the Holy Spirit as God desires us to experience it in our life every day. Here are the people from Galilee. They are all Jews. They only spoke Aramaic. And yet because they spend time in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, men, women, and children, the Holy Spirit was poured upon them and gave them new spiritual gifts that they did not have before. And that is what I was sharing with you this morning. Are you satisfied with where you are? Or do you need much more of those gifts for the sake of your own security, for the sake of your own life and blessing, and the blessing of your family, and the blessing of the church, and the blessing of the world? That's why God blesses us. It is not about us. He loves us, and he promised that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. He also asks us to share every gift and every blessing with others, like the disciples did. But some said, wow, how did they receive such a gift? I know they do not qualify on their own to speak our languages. And you know it's happening. Many of your old friends, many of your family members, when your heart is open and when you receive the Lord Jesus in, it is not just your heart that is changed and how you feel. It is your mind that is transformed by His living word and by His knowledge and by His wisdom. So will your body also change. You will become healthier. When the Holy Spirit come and dwell in the temple of God, marvelous things happen. So everyone around you that once knew you and heard you and seen you should be able to see a brand new creature. That is the work of sanctification. And so the disciples face this dilemma that God has blessed him with a new gift of tongues, and now some are accepting it as a miracle, others are mocking them and said they are drunk. Like many Christians who are converted, their old friends, the friends of the world, those who were partners in wickedness, began to mock them and said, oh, they are crazy. They are Jesus freaks. The same thing happened to the disciples. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is which was spoken by the prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and the notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Affirmative. And many of these signs are taking place now with a great magnitude. As Jesus told us already in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, things are happening in the world today beyond human control. No one can stop a tornado that came and destroyed so many places and claimed the life of hundreds. No one can stop an earthquake and the great damage thereof. No one can stop a tsunami. No one can stop the events that are taking place in the heavens or at sea. It is God who is in control. Because of sin and the act of great many sinners, we have loitered with creation. We have caused great harm to the earth by our own choices and decisions. All of this oil that is spilled at sea, all of these problems are changing the ecosystem. It's not God that is destroying humanity. It is humanity that is choosing to destroy humanity. But Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound in the last day and the love of many shall wax old, expect all of these things to happen before I come. So we are at least blessed that we have been forewarned over 2,000 years ago that these events are to unfold, and therefore our heart is not fearful. As the Apostle Paul said, if I live, I live Christ, and if I die, it is gain. Therefore, whether I live or I die is unto him. We have a divine and wonderful purpose to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of God is in us, we should fear no evil. And they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's assurance. And then he continued to tell them, ye men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. He's witnessing about who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and what can Jesus do for them today. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. This is the same Peter who once denied Jesus and was afraid.
Now, after 50 days of prayer and supplication, he is bold, he is courageous, he is fearless of anything that can happen to him. And he is so encouraged to speak the truth in love that it may minister grace unto the hearer. He continued and said, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of death. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I found I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Assurance of God's complete protection and blessings. While we journey on life. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto these days. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loin, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now he is preaching history with theology. He seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Jesus, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Peter is no longer afraid of anybody. Therefore, being by the right hand of the God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heaven, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstools. And here is the benediction of his sermon. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They are responding to the conviction and the appeal of the Holy Spirit. When you and I are convicted of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, how are you responding? Do you get angry? Do you feel it is inconvenient to worship and to serve and to be in the presence of God? You know, I visit hundreds of people in the hospital every year. Actually, 1,000. Believers, non-believers. Christians, non-Christian, and even atheists. All of them are lying on their back, and there is one place to look. Everything on earth came to a stop. Employment, businesses, school, family, they can do nothing now. And everyone have to answer that question then. Can you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil, for God is with you? But I'm very grateful to say, even though the most important thing in a human life every day is to surrender heart, mind, and soul, and life, and will to Christ. If we do that every day, it will be a great joy to serve our families. It's not going to be a burden. It will be a great joy to serve Christ in our communities, in the workplace, in the school. Life will become a great joy. It will become a life of abundance. Because your sole purpose in everything that you do is to glorify God and to express His deep love for you and to others. And guess what? The Lord promised, if that is the kind of life you're going to live every day, He will prosper you and He will bless everything that your hand touches. And everyone around you, the Bible said, will know that you are blessed. Because eventually, everything else will cease and disappear. But there is one thing that can never depart. What's in your heart? That you will take with you everywhere. What kind of mind do you have to deal with the crisis of life and to manage all the affairs of life? That is exactly what Peter is encouraging. And the people are saying, now we have heard the message. We began to feel perked in our heart. There is some truth in what you're saying. What shall we do now, Peter? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, it is such a needed gift that we cannot live without. And it's such a free gift. There's nothing for us to pay. The price has been paid by Jesus. And he wants to give us the Holy Spirit, who shall guide us unto all truth and show us the blessed, abundant way of life on earth. And also, it is the Spirit that sanctifies and makes us holy unto the day of his appearing. And it is the Spirit of God at the last breath of our life that will seal our faith, and I pray, unto life eternal. It is the Spirit of God in Jesus' name who will determine whether our name is going to be in the book of life or in the book of death. And that is not by the things we've done in this world, but by what is in our hearts at that very moment. If you look at the thief on the cross, two of them committed great crimes. Two of them, according to human laws, deserved death on the cross. Two of them have witnessed and seen and heard Jesus. The Holy Spirit spoke to both of them, convicted both of them. Yet one mocked and joked. Hey man, you save the others, you can't save yourself.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that a great number of people are exiting this world exactly like this unrepented sinner. But I'm very grateful for the thief on the right hand of Jesus, who was perked and heard the voice of conviction, and seeing the glory of God and his righteousness and love complete manifested on Jesus Christ, who responded to the other thief and said, don't you have any mercy? We committed great many crimes and deserve what we're doing, confession. But this man has done nothing wrong. Confession. Admission that Jesus is righteous. And then he looked at the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou come in thy kingdom. And that thief, after all of this life of sin, have heard the most glorious news. Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The precious blood of Jesus is precious and lasting. His love is from everlasting to everlasting. Yes, many people may pay the natural consequences of their choices and decision on this earth of sin. But as to the gift of salvation, it's a choice and it is a gift and it is a blessing offered humanity that we do not have to suffer the second death. That we can all be saved. And Peter said, repent. This means recognize that you are a sinful, struggling human being who have lots of defects of character and you are unable to save yourself. Isn't that truth? I'm a sinner. Through the name of Jesus, I have overcome some of my sins. And up till now, I want to live the perfect law of God in my heart and mind in all of my decisions. That is my desire. That is really my will. But to will is present with me, as Paul said. To do, sometimes, I find not. There are two laws and two spirits warring within me. The spirit of life and salvation that is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of sin, which is a natural part of my existence on earth. But we thank the Lord, Jesus Christ, for as I am the ultimate sinner, he alone is the ultimate savior. So if we confess our state of sin every day, we shall be delivered.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is a process of sanctification. I praise God Almighty, I'm not the same person I was years ago. And I thank God Almighty that as I continue to live by the faith of the Son of God, I will continue to change after His own character from glory unto glory till the day of His appearing. So repentance is not a one-time thing. Confession should be included in all of our daily prayer. Because regardless of how righteous we think we are, Isaiah the prophet said, whom, as I look at his life, was a righteous man by the definition of man, he said that our righteousness, his righteousness, it but filthy rags. And that is comforting to me. So Peter is saying, repent. Be thou baptized. For those who were not baptized by water, Jesus said that the greatest baptism is the baptism of the water and of the Spirit. Okay? Baptism of water is a great symbol of what God accomplished in our life when we accept His saving grace. He mainly takes the old man, the old Abraham, that was consumed by sin, under the control of Satan, and knowing not righteousness, neither did he know how to be delivered and saved from sin. And He takes that old man with all of his heart and mind and soul and all of his sins and wash them down. Bury them, as Paul said in Romans 6. We are buried with Him in baptism. The old man of sin is buried. Then the new man rise after the Spirit of God in the newness of life. We began a new process of sanctification and holiness unto life eternal. And that is not our power. It is our decision to choose to be saved through the love and mercy and blood of Jesus. As to the work of righteousness, it is God that doeth His own good will and pleasure in us. As we continue to pray. So Peter said, give up your life the way it is. Many people don't go to church because they don't think they're good enough. Many people got so discouraged because they continue to desire to sin and they don't know if Jesus will ever accept him again. He said, I am unholy. I don't even deserve to pray. Neither will I pray because guilt is consuming me. Why should I go and sing in the choir in the church if I am a sinner? Why should I go and sin? Everyone else is a hypocrite. And the devil succeeded in dismaying and discouraging great many sincere Christians by steering them away from the cross of Calvary. I come to Jesus not because I am righteous. I come to Jesus because I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And only at His feet will I find rest and peace for my soul. So what happened when He gave them the invitation to receive the Holy Ghost? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the Bible said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. It began with prayer, it ends with prayer. Our salvation begins with prayer. And our salvation ends with prayer. You know, someone surprised me years ago, and he said that in heaven there will be no prayers. And I thought about it. And after I thought about it, I recognized what he meant by it. In heaven there will only be praise.
Okay.
There will be no sin in heaven. You're going to be facing Jesus day and night. You're going to be beholding Him in righteousness. We're going to be doing what the angels are doing every day. They are worshiping and praising God. So our salvation begins with prayer and it ends with prayer. And hopefully we will be sealed at the last day on this earth in righteousness. 3,000 people were touched by the Holy Spirit working in one man called Peter. The question for you and me, for those of us who have repented, for those of us who confess our sins every day, for also those of us who have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, how are we influencing those around us? How are you using your gifts? The spiritual gift, the mental abilities, the physical gift and health, the social blessing, the emotional blessing, the academic knowledge, the financial blessing God has given you. Is it all about you? Well, the truth of the matter, if it is, as Paul said, ye shall be miserable among all people. But if it's all about Christ in you, the hope of glory, you will live the abundant life that Jesus came to give, even amidst a sinful world of sorrow and grief. You will still have the abundant life. The Holy Spirit will give you comfort in time of sorrow, strength in time of weakness. The Holy Spirit will give you encouragement in time of discouragement. The Holy Spirit will give you knowledge, understanding to all situations and events, and then knowledge and wisdom into how to make the right choices and decisions. God's power will be manifested in you and through you to touch the lives of others, first your family, then His church, then those in the world, perhaps those whom you are laboring and working with, those whom you are going to school with. Perhaps it is your neighbors, perhaps strangers you will meet on the roads. Yes, that individual that come and cut you with the car, the Lord placed him right in front of you. You can cuss him, as I have done in the past. Or you can immediately recognize that it is God that sent this lost human being who are under the control of the enemy, that you may pray for their salvation and deliverance. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit gives us understanding to events of the world in all heavenly way for our blessing and the blessings of others. And guess what? When we make it to heaven by the grace and love and mercy of Jesus, the Lord will place stars in our crowns. Stars of life that have been saved that we never really commingled with because you took the time to love on them and to pray for them. And we're going to spend eternity recognizing how God blessed our life through others and how others been blessed through His life within us. In conclusion, in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had things in common. See, they shared their gifts and life, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There are people in our family members who are wandering far away from God. Perhaps their salvation is dependent upon your own relationship of faith, upon the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart as you pray for them and as you love them and show the love of God to them. Many people are still need to be added into the fold. Jesus said, and I have other fold that is not of this fold. Them also will I bring in by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, in His church, in His people, in His ministers, in His missionaries worldwide. So this is supplication. They have prayed for how many days?
50
days. Men, women, and children. Wow. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and God answered their prayer far beyond what they have asked.
Wow.
Acts of effective prayer. You got to include in your prayer adoration for God. You got to include, like the saints and the apostles and the prophets, whom God have used to change the course of history. You got to include your daily confession, even if you think he did not sin. That's not true.
He knows, but you must admit it.
And in your prayer, you got to count the blessings. The Bible said, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, that the peace of God which passeth all human understanding should keep your heart and mind intact in Christ Jesus. And finally, supplication. It is not one time of prayer. It is not about 5 minutes of prayer. It is continued prayer. We should have a life of prayer, that we may have a life of power and victory, that we may continue to experience signs and wonders and changes and blessings never seen before in our life, in our families, in the church, and in the world. And trust me, if it is only one man or one woman or one child whose heart is right with God, God heard the cry of one man called Elijah. And he suspended the rain on all the earth for 3.5 years. If we have such a heart of prayer like Elijah, God can do the same in us and through us. Therefore, we should not fear anything that is taking place. We should have faith and trust in God, and of course, never in ourselves. Last slide, please. Here are the miracles in every answered prayer. Remember, God always answered and will always answer our prayer as yes, no, and wait. In every answer, give thanks, there is a miracle. I know our hearts sometimes break, and we have to grieve, and we have to sorrow when the answer is no. But listen, there is wisdom in no. There is wisdom in losses. Hard for us to conceive because we were not raised that way. Let us look quickly. The miracle when the answer is no. Remember on Calvary, the greatest miracle happened to all the earth when the answer was no. And to who? To Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus was told no on the cross to bring about the miracle of redemption to all the human race, the Bible said that he cried how many times to the Father? Three times he prays. And he said, Father, if it is your will, lift this bitter cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done. Words of God, only Son. And the answer was what?
No.
I love you, my son.
No.
The answer is no. Had the Father granted Jesus his request, it would have been fair still. It would have been just still. But we would not have had no hope, perhaps we would not have been born, because the earth would have been destroyed long time ago because of sin. The answer of no to Jesus brought about the redemption of the human race. It's a miracle. How can a sinner like me, a sinner rich like me, one day reign with the eternal God and the holy angels to enjoy eternity in a place where there be no sin no more, no crying, no sighing, no parting over there, but forever and ever, not just with our God and Savior, the lover of our soul, not just with the holy angels, but with all the saints and our loved ones who have rested trusting their life in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a miracle to know, but something always happened, always, when the answer is no. And it happened to Christ. The Bible said in Luke 22, and you can read it, that after Jesus received the no, and after he had surrendered to the will of his Father, the Bible said, an angel went to strengthen him. You know, when we are praying for loved ones, and praying for their healing, and praying for a miracle, many times the Lord answers yes. That sometimes, as a natural discourse of life on earth, the answer is, I am so sorry, with a broken heart, is no for now. But with every no, God give us his Holy Spirit and send messengers our way and send other events our way to strengthen our heart, to comfort us, to give us peace and blessed assurance, and give us the power to carry on till the rest of the journey, as Jesus did. All the way to the grave, and then all the way to the skies. And because he went all the way to the grave and all the way to the skies, we shall also goal, if he did not come, someday all the way to the grave and then all the way to the skies. The miracle when the answer is wait. Listen, in the Bible, God always wants to bless us. He always wants to give us signs and wonders that our faith in him increase. He always wants to bless us with our heart desires. But most often, our character is not ready to handle the blessing in the right way. That the blessing can turn into a great temptation. As I mentioned before, when I was a kid in the orphanage, oh, how much I wanted to own my own bike. And I had all of this imagination. I'm going to go to school on my bike. I'll go to church on my bike. Everyone is going to see me. I'm going to be healthy. Oh, how much I wanted to have a bike. And 3 years later, they got a bike, but for all 50 kids. And it didn't last because some knew how to ride, some didn't know how to ride. Some would run into the walls and some would run everything. So the bike crashed. And the Lord never gave me a bike. 7 years later, another young man got a bike and he did exactly everything that was after my imagination. And he went outside and rode and he was tempted and he began to put his hand on cars so he can go faster. And eventually he went under a car and lost his life. Ooh. I know that would have been me. Because that's exactly what was on my mind. Wait is a blessing. You know, as I told you before, thank God Almighty, today I have three bikes in my garage.
Oh my goodness.
And I hardly ride them.
You should donate them.
Amen? I'm so willing to do that. Two of them I can ride. I think the third one I'm ready to donate. Because Esther and I ride sometimes. So, wait. Daniel and the people of Israel waited how long?
70 years
in captivity. But while they are waiting, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary, walk and not faint. God is building character for a future prosperity that we do not have, while protecting us from all evil. That's why we ought to give thanks when the answer is wait. Of course, we are very quick to say thanks when the answer is yes, which is perfectly okay. We did not learn to say thanks when mom and dad say no. We always answered why. Our heart always wanting, believing that if I got what I want, it is best for me. And I don't want any obstacles. You know, we receive powerful blessings as we pray in faith, trusting God heard us. He manages the whole universe, not just Abraham. He manages the heavenly constellations. He managed everything at sea. He managed every leaf and every flower and every tree and every piece of vegetable and fruit. He manages all nature, and I am one of billions and billions of things that he manages. And I am part of his bigger mammoth plan. And all things that I pray for, he hears. And all things shall work together for good to those who love the Lord. If I say, thank you, Lord, and praise your holy name for the no and for the wait, as it is for the yes, there will be much more yeses than knows and waits. Why is that? Character. I am approaching the heights of the character of righteousness, trusting Jesus to be Lord over all. Finally, let us look at the last slide there and look at these two people who believed in the power of prayer, along with many other leaders in the world, and how their life of prayer have influenced the history of the United States of America. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Because prayer is the breath of our Christian existence. Therefore he said, pray and let God worry. This man, pray and live. And let God do the worrying. He knows how to do it in all the right ways. And we know how God used this man to bring about something good to this nation. Equality that God have instituted from the beginning between all mankind, that we are all one and free to make our own choices in one way or another under the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States. I have read some books, and I have read how he presided as a president. And this is what he said. I have been driven to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that all about me seem insufficient for the day. O thou God that heard Solomon in the night when he prayed and cried for wisdom, hear me. I cannot guide the affairs of this nation without thy help. Hear me and save this nation. May 5th is the National Day of Prayer. But we cannot wait once a year to pray.
No.
As this man and as the prophets and the apostles influenced their life, their families, their communities, and their nation, and as God used this man of prayer to change the discourse of history, God can and is able to use each and every one of his children who very much use the acts of fervent, earnest prayer. And the more we pray every day, the more we become holy as he's holy, the more we intercede and pray every day, God use us to impact the life of others and the history of this earth. And what a glorious gift that is. Again, with the song that we heard this morning, teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way as you teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Let us stand together in prayer. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come to you just as we are, mortal, carnal, sinful flesh, to thank you for being our righteousness, the hope of our life and the hope of all generation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our one and only Savior from sin and the suffering of sin on earth. And thank you for giving us the gift of life eternal. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that groan intercede on our behalf as we pray, uttering the things that we cannot understand. We pray for ourselves and our families, the church, the nation, and the nations of the world. May your power of love unto salvation and deliverance and hope come upon us. May you save us from sin and save us from all of the tragic suffering thereof. And may our faith and trust in your name become sight every day as we see the evidence of your power working in us and through us a life more abundantly and life eternal. Thank you for answering our prayers as yes. Thank you for your answer as no. And thank you for the waiting that bless our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.